So we've been doing a Heart for the House, and you'll see on the floor, we got these pamphlets, Heart for the House. We get to build this nation. We get to build this nation. We get to build this nation. And everyone said, amen. How do we build this nation? Well, we know God's vision for this nation is the same vision as He has for you as an individual. He wants you to flourish. He wants you to go from strength to strength. As you, your relationship with God, do that, you start to build a nation. We know as our church goes from strength to strength, we build a nation. So we don't see what you're doing as a small thing. We see it as a nation-building thing as you go from strength to strength, as you in healthy relationships, as you start to serve others. And today, we get to talk to you about our Heart for the House. So for first-time guests, I'm so glad you joined us. If you have a desire to be part of our Heart for the House, we'd love that. But we also want you to know, because you're visiting us, you get to lean in and listen to where we are at as a church. So don't feel obliged. We want all our giving to be out of a response to what God has said to you, because the scripture says God loves a cheerful giver, and the way to become a cheerful giver is to hear from God. I almost think it creates a confidence and a faith when God asks you to give, because you know God will never call you to what He's not graced you for. And so that's why we want you to ask God rather than just yearly Ann and I. And I want you to hear us, because we've been praying. I've been fasting this week for you guys, because a few weeks back Ann and I already felt separately, we heard from God the same thing, and so we've already set aside our giving, and we're very excited. It's a privilege to serve God. Every year I live, and every month I live, I want to bank it in heaven. Why bank it on earth? I want it banked in heaven. I want to get to heaven and go, Andre, you banked every year. You know, the only years you waste are the ones that you don't honor God in. That's the year wasted. But the ones that you honor God in, even if the world feels like it's a waste, you've stored it up forever in heaven, so it's never a waste. So Heart for the House is an offering that comes into the house above your tithes and offerings, and it says wherever your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So what happens is you're bringing a treasure gift into the house. It also not only directs your heart towards God's house, and the Bible says God, Jesus is coming back for His bride. The bride is the church, but it also then fast tracks the house, the speed. So we set the vision, but we know the speed to which the vision is reached is determined by our role in the church as brothers and sisters, sons and daughters of Christ, as we support our local church. And that's a biblical pattern. And I want to thank you guys, because I've never wanted to lead a church where people actually get very frustrated when we talk about generosity, because it says, for God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, the foundation of Christianity. Now we're not allowed to talk about the foundation of Christianity in the house of God, that is called to honor Him and to follow His example. So I want to thank you guys that we can speak about generosity, that we can speak about increasing the speed of the church, because let's face it, we can't take anything else to us, anything else to heaven, but people. And the church is here for the lost. God is distracted by lost people. God leaves the 99 for one. He loves our worship. He loves us being together. He loves our view groups. But even as we meet at church and in view groups, He's still distracted by people who are not there yet. He's distracted. God, have you ever lost your keys? Did it distract you? You're about to jump in your car? Imagine how God's distracted by lost people. So we love you guys. I love being in church with you. But we know we exist for people who are not here yet. And this Heart for the House will fast track, increase the speed at which we can move to reach more lost people. And everyone wants to go on the journey and believe for that said, amen. So of course, David gives us an example of honoring God. God was his God. He wasn't just somebody else's God. It was his God. And this gentleman says to David, I will pay for the sacrifice we'll bring before God. He said, no. 2 Samuel 24, verse 24. I insist on paying you for it. I will not sacrifice to the Lord my God burnt offerings that cost me nothing. So, of course, David brought the threshing floor. He put the floor and the oxen, and he brought the threshing floor and the oxen, paid 50 shekels of silver for them. And David had this place. I'll not bring to God what doesn't cost me anything. And I've realized that, you know, I don't want to live a life just on everyone else's sacrifice. The church isn't built on the sacrifice of few. It's built on the sacrifice of many. And so I've seen people sacrifice, and it's actually done something inside of me, because I felt like I've got the same thing on my life. I'm also called to build the kingdom. And so we invite you on this journey. The biggest disservice I'll ever do to you is to not share with you the biggest blessings that have ever come into my life. The biggest blessings that have ever come into my life is receiving Jesus, my Savior, starting to honor Him, getting to healthy friendships, and start to live out my purpose. You know, it hasn't been a restaurant, it hasn't been a holiday destination, it hasn't been a car or a house. It's been Jesus, serving Him, following Him and His example. And I want to invite you on that journey. And David understood. He says, why would I bring something that costs me nothing? But even as it costs him nothing, he ends up reaping nothing. Because whatever you sow on earth, will store up forever in heaven. So David understood it. But what we see when it comes to giving, it's not about the amount you give. It's about not about equal giving. It's about equal sacrifice. And we see this in the widow in Mark 12, 41 to 44. Jesus sat down near the collection box. How crazy is that? Hey, he's sitting down by the collection box. He might be doing that right now every Sunday. Check it out. He sat down near the collection box in the temple and watched as the crowds dropped their money. Many rich people put in large amounts. And we see, so many people put in large amounts. Then Jesus says, then a poor widow came and dropped in two small coins. Jesus called his disciples to him and said, hey, tell you the truth, come check this out. The poor widow, she's given more than all the others who are making contributions. And so what we see is some people can give large amounts, but in accordance to what they already had, it wasn't as much as what the widow gave in accordance to what she had. And so we see it wasn't equal giving, but God was looking at the sacrifice. And he said, you know, this is important. And of course, when I read that, I always think, you know, it's when what's in our wallets becomes bigger than what's in our heart that we're really in a dangerous place. And the widow's heart for God was way bigger than what was in her wallet. And so she came to God and honored God. So even as we do this, you must remember, it's what we give to God. And even reading scripture, as you bring your tithe, that actually they say, you bring it to the house of God. Bring your tithe into the storehouse. It speaks about the house of God. But as you bring it, it actually goes to Jesus. You actually bring it, because people get, oh, I'm giving it to this and that. And they actually get caught up in that. And Jesus is going, why are you getting caught up in the enemy's plans when you can actually bring it to my feet? Because as you do it, you're bringing it to me. And it ends up being set apart. It's holy. And Leanne and I know that in our finances, even this Heart for the House, but even monthly, we know what's been set apart. So it's like, imagine God knocking your door and said, hey, you forgot to give me what was already set apart for me this month. And it's like we're eating it. Like, oh, okay. Like sometimes, and we think like that, we're serious about that. It's already set apart. The tithe is holy. It's already a portion for God. God has already seen it and said, this is what I want to do with it. And so it's already, so some people say it's really hard to honor God in the area of finances. I've never done it yet. And I get that. I get that it is really hard to honor God with money that's not already blessed. Because it's only money that's God, that you've already honored God with, that is blessed. So I get it. It's so hard to honor God with money that's not blessed. So why don't you get it blessed by honoring God, and then you experience the blessing and the freedom to put Him first. I thought today we're going to look at a story of a young rich ruler, and it actually challenged me. And let's sort of lean in, and as we read it, and really take this in, it will be on the screens. And if you're taking notes, Matthew 10, verse 17 to 31. As Jesus was starting out on His way to Jerusalem, a man came running up to Him, knelt down and asked, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Why do you call me good? Jesus asked. Only God is truly good. But to answer your question, you know the commandments. You must not murder. You must not commit adultery. You must not steal. You must not testify falsely. You must not cheat anyone. Honor your father and your mother. And you must not support Manchester United. Anyway, I'm joking. That is... Amen. See, now that's it. Because Liverpool, you'll never walk alone and all this stuff. Anyway, I think they took that out of the Bible, but it's supposed to be there. So he says, and you must honor your father and your mother. This young man, he's passionate, he's teacher. The man replied, I've obeyed all the commandments since I was young. Looking at the man, Jesus felt genuine love for him. So I want you to remember, Jesus felt genuine love for him. What God is about to say to him came out of a total love for him. What God was about to call him to came out of a total love and hope and desire for this young man to experience more than he was living for. What God was about to point out that he could do was calling him to more, not to less. It wasn't taking away from him, it was adding more to him. Because God has come to give life and life to the full. So with this love, he says, there's still one thing you haven't done. He told him, go and sell all your possessions and give the money to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven. I want to ask you, out of the two parts of that sentence, what stands out to you? Go sell all your possessions and give the money to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven. For me, I must admit, when I first read that, sometimes the first part stands out to me. But it actually challenges me, because the second part should stand out to me even more. If you do this, you will have treasure in heaven. We only see the temporary. We don't see the eternal. We see a temporary moment of life and a fix, but we don't see forever enjoying treasures in heaven where dust and moth can never get to it. And forever, forever, ever, ever, and ever, you know what I mean? Like forever, but we just see the temporary. See, our flesh takes over, but our spirit, which is going to live forever, is trying to rise up above our flesh and go, do it! It's the best investment you'll ever make. He's calling you to more. With a genuine love for him, he called him to more. He called him to a greater life. Then come, follow me. We see that. Then come, follow me. It's like the only way to follow God was to go that way. He was like, wow. What we learned from this is you can have a passion for God. This guy ran up to Jesus. He kneeled down. He was humble. He said, I followed all the commands. And Jesus says, there's one more I want you to do. And if you can do this, you can follow me. Even if you have a love for Jesus and Jesus loves you, it doesn't mean you'll always follow him. Because he said, come now, follow me. And the man who loved Jesus and who God loved, he ended up not following. At this, the man's face fell and he went away. See, he stopped following. He went away sad. For he had many possessions. Maybe we should say this. And he went away sad because many possessions had taken hold of him. Money is not evil, but it's the love of money that is evil. Money is a huge blessing, but as a master, it's a terrible master. Yes, he walked away because he had many possessions, but he actually walked away because many possessions had taken hold of him. And the many possessions that had taken hold of him had caused him to take hold of the temporary when God was calling him to the eternal. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, how hard is it for the rich to enter the kingdom of God? This amazed them. But Jesus said again, dear child, it's very hard to enter the kingdom of God. In fact, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. The disciples were astounded. Then who in the world can be saved, they asked. Jesus looked at them intently and said, humanly speaking, it is impossible. In the flesh, it is impossible, but not with God. Everything is possible with God. Then Peter began to speak up. We've given you up everything to follow you. He said, yes, Jesus replied. I assure you that everyone who has given up house or brothers or sisters, mother or father or children or property for my sake and for the good news, there, for the gospel, will receive now in return 100 times as many houses, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, property, along with persecution. See, even though there's going to be great blessing now and in eternity, in the temporary, there will also be some persecution that comes with following wholeheartedly after God. But many who are the greatest now will be the least important then. This rich young ruler was great. But by not following through, he'd be the least important in eternity. That's what Scripture's saying here. And those who seem the least important now will be the greatest then. And of course, Jesus, if you read Scripture, one of the first things you say, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over much, and I'm going to make you faithful over many things. In heaven, there'll be people who become leaders in heaven over many things because of the faithfulness in the little things on earth. And the treasures that you will accumulate on earth will always be little compared to the treasures that you can accumulate in heaven, which will be much. I'm asking you, are you so fixated on the temporary that speaking about heaven does nothing for you? It just does nothing for how you're going to live your life, spend your time, your talent, your treasure. Is the temporary, are you caught up in it? Or are you going to see that Jesus wants to speak to you? So he was a passionate young guy. He was a good guy. He kneeled before Jesus. Jesus loved him. And he offered him a lifestyle that was far superior to what he had. What caused the rich young ruler to stumble? Was it a on-the-spot offering that Jesus asked for? Yeah, but even more than that, the reason he stumbled, in the New King James Version, It says the disciples were astonished at his words. Of course, it's Jesus' words. But Jesus answered again and said to them, "Children, how hard is it for those who trust in riches to enter the kingdom of God?" The reason he stumbled was because his trust was misplaced. His trust had been placed in the temporary. His trust had been placed in worldly treasures. And eternity did nothing for him. When God spoke about the opportunity. And of course, we spoke about it. The meaning for the word trust is like a safety deposit box. It's putting, like in these movies, they put their valuables in a safety deposit box in the bank and they get a key. But the bank now keeps it safe and they can go show up there and unlock it, go to the bank and go to the sort of vault area and unlock the safety deposit box with the key that they've been given. But the bank makes sure the valuables are safe. The same with God. When you trust Him, whatever you entrust to Him is what He keeps for you. You put it in the safety deposit box. And you know our desire for you is we want your marriage in the safety deposit box. We want your children, your future. We want your finance, your health, your time. We want it there because if you do the trusting, He'll do the keeping. And He's faithful to keep you all the days of your life and also prepare you, take you all the way to heaven. And that's what we want to encourage you. This man struggled in the area of trust. You know, maybe even as we do a heart for the house and we call for more, you say, "Andre, doing a heart for the house at the back end of a COVID season, I just don't know if this is the year." And you say, "God, I'm just about to start a family. I don't know if I can step out in this, or I'm just about to start a new business venture, or my kids are about to go to university, or God, I'm about to build a house. God, now's not the time." You know, we don't know how the economy is going to be. We don't know if we can trust it. You know, it says in Ecclesiastes that there are men who look to the clouds and the weather, and it means they never sow. They go, "When the time is right, I'll sow." But it says they'll never sow. And if we are like this with God, we will always be telling God why we can't trust Him, why we can't honor Him. "God, I'll serve You one day, but now, like, you know what I mean? I can't come to church and say, I can't serve in this team." And you'll just tell everybody all the time. But every day lost, not given to God, is a day that's not stored in heaven. You know what I mean? You're just losing out on this opportunity. You only get one life, as Leanne says. You know, make the most of it, live it. So even as I talk to you guys, yeah, I might be peeling layers but God's peeling layers as I read His word and as we study it. But I wouldn't want your giving to come out of obligation. I would encourage it to come out of passion and obedience to what God says to you. This might activate you going and spending time alone with God and praying to Him. But I encourage you, God will never call you to what He's not graced you to for. God's vision, God's provision. You need to trust Him. And say, "God, what do You want me to give to the heart for the house?" So of course, if we don't do this, it won't be a surrendered offering. It will just be a standard offering. If we don't go to God and say, "Speak to me," it won't be a sacrificial offering. It'll actually just be a safe offering. And like David said, why would I bring a sacrifice that costs me nothing? Instead of a dedicated, set-apart, holy offering, "God, in Your hands, however You want," it will be an obligated offering from me, and I'll put an obligation on God. And yes, God's going to take care of your needs, but we don't give to get. We get to give. We get to honor God. And so there's no, "God, this is Yours. You've already given me everything I need." Of course, the kingdom of God is for those with childlike faith. And this moment of trust is like childlike faith. Even as you trust God and you honor Him, you're actually prophesying to your life in the area of trust. Psalms 20 verse 7, "Some trust in chariots, some trust in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord." We trust in the name of the Lord in every area of our life, time, talent, and treasure. We put our trust not in the bank's ability or saving our finance bank, but in Jesus. Not in the economy or the government. We put our faith in Jesus. And I'm not saying you don't be steward and you're not saved. You need to do those things. But there needs to be an area where your main trust is in Jesus. Jesus, I pray for us that our trust would be resolved today in Jesus' name. Let no season, no pandemic affect in whom we put our trust, please, Jesus. Amen. Even as we do this offering, what will it reveal is in whom you trust. It will. as you go to God and pray, it's going to reveal in whom you trust. The rich young ruler not only had a trust issue, he had an addiction to the temporary. His addiction was to the here and now. Of course, Jesus says in Mark 10 verse 21, go sell all your possessions and give the money to the poor and you will have treasure in heaven. Jesus wasn't trying to manipulate him. He was just telling him about the reward that was coming. You will have treasure in heaven. He promised him a return, yet this man was so addicted to the now that the treasure in heaven had no pull on his life. Eternity is forever. The temporary is a short time. I'm asking you, does heaven have any pull on your life? Does eternity, has it lost its pull, or is the temporary just in the forefront of your life? And you're just, me, myself, and I, just trying to make it in life? Or is eternity still got the biggest pull on your life? God tells him that your eternity is going to be filled with treasure. You think that would motivate him? You think it would motivate him to give up the temporary, but he had such an addiction to the temporary, he couldn't do it. The fact that he could get treasures in heaven made no impact on his life. If I told you that if you would sow money into this fund and in 24 hours you'd get a tenfold return, I reckon you'd go get all the savings you could, you'd put it in tomorrow, I'm going to get a tenfold return, and you'd most probably even try to sell something quickly, maybe on Facebook Marketplace, and you would get the money and put it in before 12 o'clock tonight because tomorrow morning you get a tenfold return. Who'd do that? Why? Because we know tomorrow's guaranteed, hey? Heaven is actually more guaranteed than tomorrow. It's true. Heaven's more guaranteed than tomorrow. That's a fact. We don't know. Let's face it. Maybe tribulation tonight. If we're still running service on Sunday, then we're in trouble. We've been left behind. Bad joke. Really bad joke. Anyway. But when we hear that God says eternity is real and you have this opportunity to store up treasures in heaven, and we do nothing about it, has the temporary overtaken our life? In this moment, the rich young ruler's life revealed that he was focused on treasures now, and he wasn't interested in storing up treasures in heaven. Of course, in these moments, we also get to see what our focus is. If you're trusting, like I'm trusting for myself, that God would take every addiction to the temporary out of your life, I'm trusting for that. God, will you take the addiction to the temporary out of my life in Jesus' name? God, I want to build treasures in heaven. I want to build your kingdom on earth. By your grace, let me live out all the days you've planned for me, even as you made me in my mother's womb. Let me not live by the plan of the enemy or the plan of distraction. We know if we're saved but indifferent, he knows that we'll go to heaven, but we'll take no one with us. So he's going, okay, that's fine. I can do that deal. But if he knows there's a church who's hungry for Jesus and hungry for lost and hungry for heaven, he gets a bit worried. Take away our addiction for the temporary, please, Jesus. Give us a heart for heaven, a heart for the lost, in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't know what truly affected the rich young ruler, but there could have been a few things. For instance, he was rich. That could have stopped him. The other thing was, because he was young, he had strength and he had time. Or maybe because he held a high position, he had influence. In a way, a level of pride. And that stopped him. Some of you guys have let your age stop you all the time. At one point, you were too young to give and to serve. Now you're just having kids, so you don't have no time to give and to serve. Then your kids grew up and you're going, well, I need to focus on them. And now you're retired and you're saying, I've just got no time to give and to serve. You've been graced with life and time and with strength. When did God's grace in your life become the obstacle in your life? When did you? Because that's what we say. People tell me why they can't serve based on the grace in their life. Yeah, bro, I just got a promotion at work, so like, I'm just going to have to pull back from the kingdom a bit and the church and serving, because you know, it's going to be important, eh? I agree with you, it's going to be important. Be good. But the only reason you got that grace is because of the King of Kings. Grace should never become an obstacle in your life to serve God. You know what? He was rich. And the reason he couldn't follow Jesus was because he had been graced with wealth. And the grace in his life became the obstacle to following God fully with his life. I don't know what you've been given, because I've seen it. You know, by God's grace, I started tithing when I had nothing. And as God's blessed us, I've grown in my giving. But there's a time when you grow and you're going, "Chish, must I give God that?" And now the grace in your life has become the greatest obstacle on your life. When you were actually being blessed to be a blessing, now your blessing has become a bit of your curse. Or maybe it's that you got position, you got authority, and now to speak out for Jesus and to honor Jesus and to live for Jesus publicly, even on social media, maybe you feel like you'd lose your position with men. Meanwhile, it says God is your promoter. And that position came from God. So your next promotion also comes from God. But all of a sudden, you took your eyes off your promoter and you started looking for promotion from man. See, it's when God opens a door that no man can shut it. But when a man opens a door for you, he can shut it. So now all of a sudden, what's been a blessing on your life and a grace has become an obstacle in your life to fully follow God, to serve him with your time, your talent, and your treasure. So my question to you today is, who do you trust? Is your life in his safety deposit box, in his hands? Your marriage, your finances, your time, your talent, your treasure? Who do you trust? And where is your treasure? I'm not asking at which bank account or what asset. I'm asking, is it in heaven or is it on earth? I've heard some guys say, the only reason a lot of people don't want to go to heaven because they feel there's nothing waiting for them there. But even as we store up treasures in heaven, there'll be an awesome celebration. But I also want you to know, it says the presence of Jesus will be greater than any treasure. So you get like a double, triple. And also larger theologians write that that heaven will be like 1,000 times better on earth. So if you dig like mountains, 1,000 times better, everything. Of course, you know why God's taking long with heaven. He doesn't want to disappoint Capetonians. The rest of the planet's getting Cape Town and we're going, no, Jackie, no. We are going on to new glories. But you're going to have treasure, you're going to have Jesus, you're going to have blessing. What you're living for, where's your trust? Where's your treasure? So I want to practically give you two things and I'll ask my wife to come up. But even so that we don't get caught up in the temporary, this is how Leanne and I live our life, and we want to encourage your church. But be intentional when it comes to generosity. My question to you is, what is your plan for generosity? Of course, ours is I'll intentionally share our resources. That's how Leanne and I plan. I'll intentionally share my resources. A lot of people go, the tithe is Old Testament. Of course, if you look at Melchizedek, the tithe came pre-law. But let's say tithe is Old Testament. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 1 to 2. Let's look at this scripture. It says, now about the collection for the Lord's people, do what I've told the Galatian churches to do. And Paul's teaching the churches now when it comes to giving. The first day of every week, each one of you should set aside a sum of money in keeping with your income. It's a percentage. I encourage you to become a percentage giver. You might say, Andre, I can't give 10%. Leanne and I, of course, we've given 10%. We say this, we've had people come to us and say, I can only give 1%. That's fine. Give 1%. But decide to become a percentage giver. And if you're not part of our church, where you go, I encourage you to support your local church. It's actually God's plan for the church. It says he's coming back for his church. It's God's bride. This is an eternal house you're sowing money into. You might be sowing money into some other bank or some house or some house. That's a temporary house. This is an eternal one. Have a plan to support your local church. Have a plan to support the moving forward of the gospel. You need to have a plan. But what we've done is, this scripture was almost a foundational scripture for us when we got married. 2 Corinthians 8 verse 7. Since you excel in so many ways, in your faith, your gifted speakers, your knowledge, your enthusiasm, and your love from us, I want you to excel also in the gracious act of giving. What we've understood is, as we started, of course, we started with a percentage of 10. You can start with one. It's fine. We've realized that giving is something you grow in. And over the years, we've been able to grow in our giving. And I encourage you, if you want to break the hold of the temporary in your life, have a plan when it comes to giving. Become a percentage giver. Actually start supporting your local church monthly. Make it part of the priority in your life, a non-negotiable. God, your house is the hope of the world. I'm going to be part of building your house. And then lastly, second, before I pass over to Leanne, is I'll intentionally share my time. I'll intentionally share my time. And of course, I want to point out Matthew 25 and 23. I've pointed out in the sermon. His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I'll put you in charge over many things." This is a parable of the talents. But what, when we get to heaven, God's going to put us in charge of many things based on our faithfulness with small things on this planet. He wants to say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." He doesn't want to say, "Well done, good and faithful giver, attender." Like, he wants to say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." I want to encourage you to be intentional with serving. If you got kids, why don't you let them see you serve and let them serve with you? Serve in car park, have your kid come and help, but they need to see it. But you need to become intentional with this. Don't wake up when God goes, "Oh, well done." And you're like, "Yes." He's like, "I wish I could say servant. Anyway, just come in." I always joke. For some of us, we're going to get, "Well done, good and faithful servant." For others, it's going to be, "Oh, well." Anyway, but I encourage you, this is what God wants to say to you. "Well done, good and faithful servant." Join our dream team. Do Growth Track. Go to Fast Track. First on, not this Tuesday, next Tuesday. Do Growth Track. Discover your gifts and start serving. Be intentional with supporting the church, percentage giver. Be intentional with serving. It's actually God's plan for your life. And the last thing I'm going to hand over to Leanne is, but I will intentionally share Christ. I will intentionally share Christ. Now, of course, it says, the scripture, Matthew 16, verse 18, and Leanne spoke so powerfully on it. I tell you that you are Peter, on this rock I'll build my church. God's building his church. He wants us to share Christ.
Awesome. So, you know, if you are a part of your church and you've been a part of your church for a while, you'll know this, and maybe you knew, you'll learn this about us. As a church, we are obsessed with seeing the lost come to know Jesus. That is our purpose. We spoke about it last week. God said, "I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail." Amen? That is our mandate, to be the hands and feet of Jesus as we build his church. We want to populate heaven. That's our mission. That's why we plant churches. That's why we do what we do. That's why we run this location. It's to see lost people come to know Jesus. And, you know, during the COVID season, I mean, we've had a heart to plant locations and churches for the last few years, but during COVID, it's fast-tracked this vision. And that's the thing. God will always take a terrible situation and bring good out of it. And that's been a blessing from COVID, because it's fast-tracked us to move to starting these two new locations. We've got Bloberg Beach Hotel and we've got our Malpo Strand location, and they're growing and we're reaching unsaved people. That's what we want. We're getting unsaved people into the church. And we feel as a church called to build this nation. How are we going to build this nation? We're going to build strong churches in every community that sees people come to know Jesus, that changes marriages, that changes families, that blesses children and their children and their children's children. And we have a generation of people that are doing things God's way. Amen? That's the hope of the world, the local church, not our politicians. And so we're excited about building churches. And, you know, we've got a vision to see so many more churches planted all over our city and our country and the world. And, you know, what COVID's done is it's made us start an online church community. And there's no going back now, because we've got members who go to View Group, who've done Growth Track, that are in the UK. We've got people in China. We've got, I saw someone from New York was on this morning. We've got people, you know, all over the world, even in Joburg, that are now a part of View Church. And it's awesome what God is doing. But the thing, the reason why one of the main reasons we're doing this Heart for the House offering is that whenever you're taking ground, it requires money. You know? And we, one of our values at View Church is we believe in a spirit of excellence. Why? Because we serve an excellent God. He didn't give us second best. He gave us Jesus. He gave us an excellent sacrifice. And we want our church to have a spirit of excellence. And so we want people in our Malpas location to experience live worship. We want them to, at Bloberg, to experience live worship. We want the kids church to be excellent because that's a unique opportunity. Majority of Christians get saved as a child. And we want our kids church to be excellent. And so this miracle offering, we're trusting God for 1.8 million. And that can sound like a lot of money, but we serve a big God. Come on. We serve a big God. And nothing is too hard for Him. And even, you know, as we were praying this week for this offering, I felt God say, this church, View Church, is going to be built on the sacrifices of many. So we're not waiting for some big billionaire to come in and, you know, we're gonna build this on the sacrifices of many faithful people. And it doesn't matter, you know, whatever you can bring to the table, I believe God will multiply it, anoint it, and bless it. But a lot of the money is going to go on broadcasting. So we need cameras. We need more cameras. We need screens. We need sound systems. We need drums in all our locations. They're expensive. We need keyboards. We need sound boards. We need snakes. I still don't know what those are, but apparently we need them. They're not animals. They have something to do with technology. We need... like I said, we need to up our kids' church. So we need laptops, PCs in every location. These are all the things that we're trusting for. And it's exciting because if we get the mothership sorted, it means planting more and more locations is going to be easier and easier and more accessible. So come on, it's exciting. And Andre and I have been praying for a while about what we're going to personally give. And the only reason I'm telling you guys this is because I want you to know we would never ask you guys to do something that we wouldn't do. So we're in this together. And we felt from God a specific amount. And we've decided to sell one of our assets and to make this happen. And we are not sad about it. We are not, we just feel privileged. Because it is our privilege to be able to give to God's house. It's our privilege to be involved with seeing heaven populated. Come on, we say it all the time, but we get one life, one chance. The only thing we get to take to heaven with us is people. And so if we're going to give up some assets so that we can see God's church expanded, it is a privilege and an honor. And we want to invite you on this journey. Listen, I've also learned, I've grown up in the church, you can't outgive God. But I don't want anyone to give because they want to get. I want you to give because it's a privilege and an honor and you feel called to do this. So, you know, we're going to take a moment. I'll give the mic to Andre now, and then we're going to pray. And you guys, you know, you've got these pledge forms. You can fill them in now. If you feel like you need to go home and talk to your spouse and pray, that's fine. You can even do it online. There's a link online where you can do your pledge form. We've got Wi-Fi accessible to all View Church guests right now. And then we're also going to send around buckets if you have brought cash. But also what's very exciting, maybe you can tell them about the land quickly.
So you know, we've been trusting for land behind us for over 20 years. 3,000 square meters has now been set aside. We've done all the advertising. We've done all the fees for advertising with the city and everything signed off. They're just going to give us a price now for it. And at the moment, they're saying it could land at about 900,000. Of course, we've already got money set aside for the health center, which I think is over about 500,000, which we can use to settle the land and move the health center forward. So that's just a celebration of how close we are to accessing 3,000 more square meters of land to help to really build a health center and a salt center that really blesses our community with social justice. So what an awesome opportunity. But in this time, we want you to pray. If you haven't prayed, set aside time so it can be a joyful giver. Some of you might just want to write on the pledge form like Deanne said and put it in. Some of you might want to take this home. You can do it online by EFT. We've got our snap scan. We've got a little sort of tag for Heart for the House. Or if you open up your phone and open up the Wi-Fi, it'll say view guest. You can go onto it and then you can go to next step and you can actually give in the moment as well. But we would encourage you to if you haven't asked God, to ask God and go on this journey with us and just see what God does. It's like I said, it's more blessed to give than to receive. It's like you I can tell you about it until I'm blue in the face, but you're going to have to try it one day. You're going to have to try it and see what happens. You see what happens when you start to honor God in this area. See what happens when you start to serve God. It's amazing. Like I said, my only regret is that I didn't do it sooner. That's totally changed my life. And yes, serving God doesn't always add up because God's not into addition. He's only into multiplication. It always multiplies. It always multiplies. And it's going to for sure multiply in heaven. How much better than just multiplying on earth? But yes, there's a blessing on earth, but heaven awaits us. So I'm going to ask Leanne to pray and then the buckets, if you guys can get ready with the buckets. After we finish the prayer, and you can grab your form. Some of them are under your chair. Grab your form right now. There's a pen. They've all been sprayed down. It's clean, or do it on your smartphone. And then once we've prayed, we can go around to the buckets. Cool.
Father God, we just thank you for this opportunity, God. I thank you that you would use broken vessels like us to build your church, God. We get to be your hands and your feet, Lord, as you build your church and the gates of hell will not prevail. God, we speak that over our community. We speak it over Tableview, over Bloburg, over Malpos, over Cape Town, God, over our country, Lord, that we are going to see so many churches grow and flourish and people populate heaven, God, and I thank you that we get to be a part of this. God, it's our greatest privilege and our greatest honor, Lord. God, we want to be people who are investing in eternity, God. We want to sow into eternity, into things that have an eternal value. And so this afternoon, God, we declare this is our greatest privilege. And won't you take what we give, God? We give it joyfully. And God, won't you multiply it? Won't you bless it? Won't you anoint it? And God, won't you cause it to see so many more children, people, families populate heaven in Jesus' precious name. God, we give you all the glory for what you are going to do. You are an amazing God. Thank you that we get to build this nation, God, as we're your hands and your feet and you build your church in Jesus' precious name.
God, we just come to you now. And again, we want to declare that our trust is in you, God. Some may trust in horses, others chariots, but we trust in the name of the Lord. I pray, God, that our heart and desire for eternity would be greater than our heart and desire for the temporary. I pray you'd use us to be deliberate with generosity, with serving, and with community, God, not only in the church, but a heart for our lost friends, God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Awesome. So guys, we're going to be doing Heart for the House tonight again. If you want to join us, of course, worship has been incredible, but you can also jump online and share it tonight. Of course, people who share the service help us take the service a bit further, so jump on tonight. It's so crazy. Leanne and I had our neighbor come today for the first time, and that's really our heart. That's the joy of, you know what I mean? Like, it's when our neighbors sort of don't want to come to church. That's the problem, you know what I mean? Yeah, I live next door to you. I don't know if I want to go to your church. You know what I mean? Like, it's when they actually want to go to church because they see our lives and they get to experience community with us. I just think it's awesome. So let's keep inviting our world, reaching our neighbors, and just being God's light. Have an awesome week. Remember, for new people, if you want the next step, you can, as you walk out, where you registered or where you sort of got checked in, you can ask one of our leaders over there about Growth Track, about View Group. Remember, Growth Track, Fast Track, next week, Tuesday night, not this week, Tuesday. And then View Group start not this week, the following week. Our Awaken series starts this coming Sunday from the book of Nehemiah. You don't want to miss it. It's going to be amazing. Have an awesome week. Cool.